In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. If I use this slang term, you all know what it means, bling. Bling. Suppose you were blind. What is that to you? Can you be impressed by how much bling somebody has if you're blind? Right? Think about that for a minute. Or if you were wearing something that is comfortable and maybe made out of cotton, and someone else is wearing a very expensive sharkskin suit or a silk suit or something, and it came from Savile Row in England, you know, $10,000 a suit. Can the blind man see that? Can the blind man understand the importance of that? What is that to the blind man? So the Lord is telling you now, he's saying, I wish for you to be blind to these things of the earth, because they are earthly and they will pass away. Just like the lily, he describes the lily of the field as being so much better dressed than Solomon in all his glory, and yet in the next line he talks about the lily as the grass which withers away and is going to be thrown into the oven. That's the ephemeral part, the evanescent part, the part that flees us. We try to grab a hold of it. Nobody ever has a Brinks truck showing up at a funeral. You can't take it with you. No matter how much money you have, you can have a golden coffin, I suppose, diamond encrusted if you wish, but of what value would that be to you? You see? And the Lord is saying, your life is more than just the material expression that you enjoy by eating, by sleeping, by being touched, by doing all manner of things that are physical. And he's made this for us to help understand him and his love towards us by giving us this kind of benefit, just as the same way in which, I remember there was a commercial one time about dog food, and this guy, he looked down at his dog and he said, look, whatever's on sale, that's what you're eating. The dog has no choice but think about how lucky we are in being able to eat all the variety of food that we get. And why did he do this? He didn't have to even do that. Remember the manna that came down from heaven that filled the children and kept them alive? Remember, they didn't like it because there was no garlic. There was no salt and pepper. It was just what they needed. You understand? It was just what they needed. It's not what they wanted. And why do you want a particular thing? Because you have taught your flesh to desire it. You've taught your flesh to desire it. There's a beautiful movie about a man who comes home from World War II, and he's horribly scarred because he was in an explosion and a fire, and it took away half of his face. And he found this beautiful woman to love who was blind. And they lived in a cabin in the mountains. And they were perfectly happy. And the only thing that could intrude upon that, was somebody who would come in with a different version of truth. Because that person's truth would be, oh, well, she's not very good looking, and he's horribly scarred, and she's blind, and you got this little crummy cabin in the mountains away from everybody, and you don't have any contact with anybody, and you're losing out. Do you know what the latest play is? Are you aware of what's going on? So this is what happens to us. The Lord is asking us to start out our journey with him during Lent by making certain that the focus of our eye is on spiritual things and not on carnal or fleshly or material or earthly things. To think about that. In other words, I was complaining to my wife the other day about food, and I you know, it's It's hard for me, being a diabetic, sometimes to figure out how much food I'm supposed to eat, because fasting food metabolizes differently than eating meat, for example, which takes longer to metabolize. And so if I would give myself some insulin that I'm normally taking with my meal, it proves to be too much, and it will, if I'm not careful, put me into a coma, right? It's a small thing. It's a small thing. Why? Because after you make a mistake and you drink a glass of orange juice, for example, next time you don't take so much insulin, and you record in your mind how much it was you put on your plate, and you start to see these things. In other words, all of the things that are difficult and there are obstacles, you put those aside for the sake of what? For the sake of joining the Lord on this trail. It is a tremendous journey. And to journey with the Lord like this is not easy for everybody at every moment of their time. You may have pressures from the outside. You may have all kinds of different obligations that have combined. And the devil, knowing that you are fasting, will try to throw every obstacle possible at your feet so that you will stumble and fall. But beyond all of this, there is the patience of the Lord saying, just keep going, just keep making step after step, and join me, and I will take your hand, and when you become enmeshed or immired, I will pull you. I will give you that which you need to provide impetus for your next step forward. But you must not be double-minded. In other words, if you're looking at the side of the road, and you're watching what's going on the side of the road, you cannot adequately care for your own safety or the safety for anybody else. So when you are doing something spiritual, you have to have a guide. It's why it is so important to confess regularly. It is so, so important to confess regularly. Because if you do that, then you're not going to be left to your own devices, which, you know, what have you learned the most about? When we go to school, right, we compete with each other to get a gold star. I want a gold star. I want my happy face. I want, and from the time that we are little, we are taught that we are doing a thing not for the thing itself, but for the reward that attends the correct doing of the thing. So I will do this. I will do mathematics with you. But if I'm going to do mathematics and I'm going to beat you because I want that A, I want that A. I told you how vain I was. This is a true story. In a class in university, the professor said there were two A's that were given out. And I said, who got the other one? That's a pretty bold statement, right? Because it may not have been me, but I was certain it was. I was certain I got an A, absolutely certain. Without a doubt, I got an A. You know why? I knew the work I put in. I knew the competition from the class. I knew. But what did it mean? Did it mean that somebody who's got an A minus was going to be tossed aside, or that they might not simply overtake me because I decided to take a rest at some point in the journey? I remember reading this book by Malcolm Gladwell, who talks always about the 10,000 hours of becoming. And it was funny because in the speed skating, the young man who had been taught to skate by, he's not avuncular, he's grandfatherly. He was 74 years old, his coach, I think his name is Stoltz, and he won two gold medals and a silver. And he told him, you're not going to succeed at skating unless you spend 10,000 hours. And that was way before Malcolm Gladwell came up with this, by the way, just giving the person the proper respect for the idea. But yeah, it takes time. So I got an A, so what? Somebody's got this nice dress, so what? I used to always tell my kids, do not wear your best clothes to church. Do not take your best toy to church or talk about your best toy while you're in church, because you might be sitting next to somebody whose parents can't provide their children with the same clothing that you have on or the toy that you have, and you can bet that those parents love that son or daughter of theirs as much as we love you. So don't make them feel bad about themselves. Don't do that. Don't bring that into the equation of church. Church should be a spiritual thing for you to experience with friends who can, when you start to flag and become fatigued, that you may be bolstered by. Just as when you get a pat on the back in any kind of team sport, they say, you know, come on, pick it up, let's move out, let's go faster, let's go harder, let's do it, we can do it. In the spiritual life, there's camaraderie and there's love between the people that are God-loving and God-fearing. There's the kind of thing that provides a unity through the cup that we will share in just an hour. And it's so much more important than anything else. You know, it doesn't need to be talked about very much about why we shouldn't try to elevate ourselves, especially when it may involve the expense of another person's feeling about themselves. We should be careful about that. We always aren't, but we should be. And, you know, if you've started off your fast on shaky ground and you haven't been doing exactly what you want, start up again. Start. Recharge. Start to focus and start to point and start to move. And remember, it's not just about what we aren't doing, what we are preventing ourselves from sharing with others. It's about what we are going to do that we can do with others. You know, it's a sad thing to have to admit, but I will tell you this. There was only one person that I ever knew before my priesthood that ever said to me when we got together, we were going to have lunch together, he said, let's open the Bible. Can you imagine that? Who has said that to you in the last year? You get together with somebody. The intent is we're going to go out and eat, or maybe we're going to see some friends, or maybe we're going to the movies or something. Have you had anybody tell you, let's open the Bible? Let's open the Bible. And this is not without some preparation on the part of the person who asks. Because the part of the person who asks is the part to lead the discussion, because they're going to open the Bible to a particular place. The Bible, a typical Bible, has about 1,000 pages. And it could be anywhere, and you may not be prepared for that particular thing. But you should say, just like the guy that says, hey, you know, I got this cake. It's fasting. I've got this cake in the fridge. Would you like a piece before we go? Just a little, you know, just a little thin slice. Just, you know, kind of whet your appetite. W-H-E-T. Whet your appetite. And you say, yeah, okay, I'll have a piece of that. I'll have a piece of the Bible. I'll have a piece of God's Word. I'll have a piece of it that I might take something away, because it means that much to you to open the Bible with me. And it makes me think, you know, you want me for more than just because I'm a distraction from your normal routine. I'm not just somebody to have fun with. I'm not just somebody to pass the time with. I'm somebody to share something deep with. Very deep. If that's not happened to you in the last year, then you be the person that does it for someone else. I'm commanding this now as an order to all of you. You do it for someone else. You say, you can be refused. Isn't that, you know, oh, you know, I used to be a strong guy. I'm opening up the Bible and it kind of looks pathetic, right? You know, here, would you like to read the Bible? What happened to you? I read the Bible. You know, that's what you're reading now? you could be shown any kind of response, but just to take it, you know, as an aside, are there a lot of people that are afraid to speak in public? A lot of people. And the reason that people are afraid to speak in public is for one thing. They're concentrating on what they think the audience sees when they look at them. But when you are standing and representing something else, something other than yourself, I'm representing God. I'm sharing the word of God. I'm like one of the prophets or one of the disciples. I'm sharing the word of God. I'm great. There can be no criticism of me. There can be a rejection of the word of God, but there cannot be a criticism of me. So therefore, I can be very bold. I can be very bold and say to someone, hey, you want to open up the Bible and take a look at what I've been reading? Or have you been reading? What have you been reading? You want to share with me? Or there's a guy at Saint Archangel Michael wherever Saint Archangel Michael is, the one down in what is it, Garden Grove?
Santa.
They say Santa. I don't think it's Santa Ana. It's not Santa Ana. Really, Santa Ana? Okay. In the poor part of Santa Ana. So. This guy was a Sunday school teacher, and we used to meet because there were a few people that had boyfriends or girlfriends that were American in the church. And so he and I would share a Bible study on Saturdays with these people. All right? I wasn't a priest at this time, I was serving in St. Mark's Church. So it was a way for me to go. I live in Whittier. And I would meet him. His name is Isaac El-Rahab. And if you know the Sunday school servants at Archangel Michael, you will know Isaac El-Rahab. He's not a monk, he just got the name, all right? So nobody showed up. And he said, well, I guess we should go. I said, no. I said, I want you to teach me what you prepared, and then I'm gonna teach you what I prepared. You see, this is boldness. You know, he could have said, well, you know, I've been in the church my whole life, and you've only been in the church like 4 years. You know, that's kind of cute that you think that there's something that you're going to offer me that I'm going to find enjoyable. But you know, you're just very immature in your walk with Christ, and so. He could have said anything. He could have said anything, but he didn't. He was humble, and he listened to what I had to say, and I listened to what he had to say. And if you ask him about this, he'll remember. You'll remember. My name then was Peter. It wasn't Father Bishoy. My name was Peter, to ask Isaac Orah. But this is what you do, you see, because we're on this journey. And what is the purpose? It's for us to receive the week of the Lord's Passion with a full embrace. And you can't do it unless you get into shape. And you get into shape by praying. You get into shape by fasting. You get into shape by reading the Bible. You get into shape by tithing. You get into shape by doing all of the things that have been so far mentioned in the Gospels. You get into shape. And when you arrive at Jerusalem, and the children of Israel are putting down their clothes and saying, Hosanna to the King of David, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, you will be ready too to echo those things in a deep, deep way. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.